Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 144, part 1, Beware the Snare. Today is Friday, April 23rd, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, a heavenly rest involves decision. The truth causes battles. Beware the snare. And a profit and loss statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, Beware the Snare. Beware the snare. Tonight, let's enter into Psalm 91 and 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now listen. But let's, before we enter in there, let's go to another psalm, Psalm 141 and 9. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me. Now, dealing this whole of the summer and going over into St. Paul and ministering to some, well, thousands and thousands of people over the course of a 13-year period I've been ministering, this scripture really comes alive to me Keep me from the snares, plural, which they have laid for me. A lot of times people lay snares for one another. They try to trap one another in little things. But before that, he had just asked in verse 3 that the door of his mouth might be kept. Now you see his prayer grows into, keep me. Are you hearing this? Keep me. He seems, I believe, more in trouble about temptation than the concern over open attacks. The world says it, preacher, and if you're listening to me on the radio or to this tape, you are your own worst enemy. Now, all you sitting here, all you listening, the world says that you are your own worst enemy. You get hard on yourself. The Bible also says don't weary in doing well. You know why it says that? Because you'll fall into temptation and you'll blow it. Well, how do you blow it? You blow it with anger. You blow it with dishonesty, not telling the truth. And you blow it through depression. You say, oh, I'm so depressed, so I'm just going to do this or I'm going to do that, and I'll feel better. I will. No. And so you fall into the snare of the fowler. Yet, in Psalm 141:9, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me. Now, brave men do not dread the battle. It's not the battle they dread, but they hate secret plans. They hate secret things that are going on. Well, I guess there's all kinds of secret things going on in the invisible Satan-infested atmosphere. But you see, we can't endure to be trapped like unsuspecting animals. We would rather have an open conflict, something we could see, something we could grab a hold of, something we could taste. But those things that are hidden, those snares that are hidden, those traps the fowler lays out there. Therefore, we pray to God for a wisdom and for protection. And then David adds, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Well, what does gins mean? That's trap or snare. You know, the cotton gin, that's when they have the cotton and the seed is trapped in the cotton and it rakes it out of there. And I think like men of today, these men sought to catch David in his speech or in his acts. Let me tell you something, preacher. Beware in the end times of people trying to catch you in what you say and in what you do and your acts. See, it shows me that they were so bad themselves that they either wish to make him like themselves or cause him to seem so. Well, again, the world says it. Misery loves company. Now, you take a miserable person, they're going to seek company. They're going to seek company, and they're going to seek somebody just as miserable as they are. How many are hearing this? And another thing it showed me, if they can catch a good man in one way and they can't catch him in another way, well, they try to catch him one way or another. Now, listen, preacher. They were determined to work his ruin. Now, I know there's pastors out there that before they get into a church, they have to get up and they have to give their oratory, but it can't be gospel. and they give their oratory, and if it lines up with whatever, like they take a vote. And then they vote that man in. But it has to line up with what they want. Or they lay their snares, they lay their traps, they lay their gins. And they wait for key words from this pastor. Now, you're listening on the radio, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got that 49,000 plus job. And you're opened up to every snare of the fall. On the other hand now, you preachers out there in the faith churches and different churches around the city, whatever church you're in, independent, they are laying snares for you right now. Now, you get busy doing the Lord's work and start doing a good work, they're going to lay snares out there for you. All over the place. They were determined to work David's ruin. Only God could preserve David, and I believe he will do the same for us. God is able to keep you, preacher. Like my mother used to say, the windmill, keep on a keeping on. And I used to wonder at that when I was a little one. Finally, as I kept on keeping on, I began to realize what she meant by keep on a keeping on. That means when you don't feel like you can keep on a going, you keep on a keeping on. Keep on a keeping on a going. But it's hard to keep out of these snares, which we can't see. And to escape the gins, which we cannot discover. And he cries out, keep me! I mean, after all, Lord, you know all and you see all. So keep me. And you are going to have to end up in the very end age asking the Lord to keep you, because there's snares out there. Verse 10, let the wicked fall, it says, into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Let them fall into their own traps that they've laid, that I may escape. Now, I read that and I thought, well, that isn't really a Christian prayer. But I thought it's a just one. It's a very truthful one. And I think it takes a great amount of grace for me not to say amen to it. Let fire fall. But we have a more excellent way. We war not against the flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. We have a more excellent way. We return to that heavenly rest that remains when all else fails. When every snare has been laid. Man, keep on and keeping on, preacher. Every snare has been laid, then return to the heavenly rest that remains. And in Psalm 116:7 says like this, return unto thy rest, O my soul. And here we see David making a decision to return to the rest that remains. And also I must add, to keep this in mind, the truth causes battles. Now, this week have been surrounded by people that want a counsel about things. I says, my God, men tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. But see, when you really get to telling the truth, no one wants to hear it. What is the bald-faced truth about the matter? It all boils down to selfishness. And when you ask a person that question, they cannot answer. There's a song, it was Betty Hutton, I think it was years ago, sang it. He says, murder, he says, at a time like this, he says, murder, he says, is this the language of love? And so we're in a time right now when there's all types and all shapes and all sizes of snares being laid. Wherever good is, the Bible says, evil is always present. Always. I thought to myself, who then can enumerate all the dangers of the godly? How can we possibly number all the dangers of the godly? They cannot be numbered. How many are hearing this? We are delivered only by the grace of God. Deliver me then from the snare of the fowler. But it goes on and says, surely he will deliver me. And so the soul is surrounded by many dangers. It is ensnared by worldliness. It is ensnared by selfishness. And oh, what a trap that is, if the devil can get you to be selfish. God, you ruin everything in your path to have your way. That is a snare of the fowler. It is ensnared by unbelief. And then you get in this sort of a situation, preacher, and this worldliness comes in and it tries to grab you because you see you're down and you're in a fit of indecision and you're in a fit of nervousness and you don't know which way to turn and you fall into unbelief and they're all snares. No, keep on and keep it on. Keep on a keeping on. Because then, see, if you don't, these are the enemies to prayer. Oh, I'm not going to pray anymore. God ain't answering prayer. I don't feel like praying. Nothing ever happens when I pray. Well, maybe everything does happen. It's also the enemy of confidence of our everyday life. Psalm 124 and 7 says like this. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. And our lives are always open to the snares of Satan. We like birds who would be caught every minute if it was not for the grace of God. And oh, mark it down, our God can break the snare of the fowler. Well, we pray our Father, don't we? Lead us not into temptation. Well, do you mean God leads us into temptation? Why, he sure does. He doesn't tempt you. You're tempted of yourself, but you're led there. Lead us not, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the snare of the fowler. Keep us. Though Satan will be pouring on every trick he knows in the last days. How many are hearing this? I think we should all become very aware of his wiles, the Bible says, and of his schemes. Last few weeks, I have been made aware of some of the schemes. Some people coming in for counseling. Others feeling like I'm losing it. Well, I say, glory to God, brother or sister, lose it. Lose your life to gain it. And that's what the whole of the thing has been. So you'd lose your life. Things happening in bodies all over the cities now. The bodies of Christ. There's only one body, but I'm talking about all the other ministries. There's things happening in the body of Christ. So I asked God, I said, God, I have to know. I want you to show me. Sometime back, I said, people get ready. Know your enemy and stand, having done all, stand, hold fast to your positions. Keep on and keeping on. And God will always deliver you. And so today in Psalm 91 and 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And so know your enemy. Know that he's out there. Know that he's real. Know that he lays those snares. The prince of the power of this world, the spirit which still worketh in the children of disobedience, is like the fowler, always trying to destroy you. The devil has changed his mode of attack over the last years, say 600 years. He used to be a grimy old thing, horns and a tail, long, icky-looking fingernails. He was a persecutor who threw everybody into the furnace and put them to death for serving Jesus Christ, martyrs. But today, the devil is a well-spoken gentleman, sort of like the underworld coming up top, and now they're all educated. Now you have educated crime. Now they can steal from you legally. And we have such things as inflation. Well, inflation understood is great. Inflation misunderstood is your breaking. But inflation for the one that has the money and knows how to control the money, they know how to direct that money right into their coffers. And so it's the same way in the spiritual world. They put on a dignified, a suit now. There's no more. He doesn't persecute as much as he persuades and as he beguiles. And he works through the worldly churches. He works through the legalistic groups. He's gathering together a group of witch hunters. And they're out there. It won't be long until they'll start to witch hunt on the Church of Jesus Christ. Mark it down. When that happens, there'll be a whole lot of folks that'll crawl under their chair and say, I knew it. I'm not involved. Not me. Oh, I always thought they were a bunch of crazy people. No, sir. No, I'm not involved. No. And he's trying to eliminate the gospel message. Paul says, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel. And you hardly ever hear the gospel anymore. He'll come on by confusing people. Satan always has been, always will be the fowler. But I say this, whatever his tactics are, his object is still the very same. To catch men in his net. And here we have men compared to silly birds. They are so stupid that they cannot avoid the snare, and they have not enough strength to escape it once they're caught in it. Now, he doesn't come on so much as a roaring lion. No, roaring against us in persecution, but he attacks as a snake, silently hiding, who bites us. You're walking along, singing a song, and yip, he takes a bite out of you. And he does this to weaken the power of grace and to ruin the life of godliness in us. But what a comforting text this is for all of us believers when temptation comes. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Wow. Surely, and now listen, he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. But a lot of people in the end time are going to be foolish. And they're going to be fooled, they're going to be foolish, and they're going to say, you know what? I'm tired of it all. And they'll jump right into the old trap. Or they'll be used to lay their traps for other people. So number one tonight, we shall examine the snare of the fowler. Number two, we'll look on in the deliverance. And number three, the certainty of it, placing our attention on the word surely. Now, listen, when God says surely, it surely means surely. So first then, the snare of the fowler. Now, what an illustration. And I thought to myself, how suggestive it is, how deep it is, and I believe that we've all had our bouts with Satan, haven't we? How many have had bouts with Satan? And so tonight, let's briefly examine these snares, these ways that the fowler attempts to take his birds. People say, that's an odd old bird, isn't it? But this is the way he lays traps for your souls. Same way. And I believe that the fowler's snare is intimately connected with secrecy. Things that are not done in the light. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I mean that all of a sudden you find out that someone has done something to you and you just cannot believe it. You say to yourself, my God, I cannot believe that this person or this group of people have done this. And that they have done it secretly. Let me tell you, that is the snare of the fowler. Don't you fall for it. Because that snare net is never put out there in plain sight for the birds to see. We were kids. My brother was here. We used to go out. We'd go behind a feed store there. We'd take a box, a little crate, we'd prop it up, we'd have a stick over here, and we'd have little bits of feed going up into that little box there. And then we had a string, and we'd get behind some rocks over here. See? Then that bird, he would go after this seed in there, then he was very cautious, and then, oh, and he didn't go in. Then he'd turn around. Then he'd look around, and he'd get kind of nervous and scratch his little feet and look around. Then he'd get a little closer, and he'd do a little more scratching, and pretty soon he'd stick his head in there. No, no, shh, shh, no, no, be careful. He's just about in there, Dave. No, don't pull the string. Don't pull it yet. All of a sudden, he darted in there. Usually it was because a group of other birds would come rushing behind because they thought that he was going to get something inside there, and he'd run in real quick, and then you pull the string. There is a song like that, you know what it says? Fools rush in. Where angels dare not to tread, something like that. How many are hearing this tonight? No, preacher, you better listen to what I'm preaching. See, it's camouflaged. And so, you, of course, the fowler here carefully takes patience, and he carefully covers up his trap. And so that food bait there is placed to entice, to draw you in for the kill. Also, when the fowler goes after his birds, he is careful that he is not discovered. So they hide behind the rocks, and they wait. How many know that everything that's done in the darkness will be revealed by the light? Yes. You know what? I'm commencing to believe I'm going to do everything in the light. I'm going to stand on the roof. I'd like to work right on top of the roof so everybody can see what I'm doing. Then they could make a daily report on Pastor Paul or Pastor Nick or Pastor Fred or Sister Sue. How many are hearing this? My God, hear it. There are snares laid for you every day. But in taking some of these birds, the old fowler holds a piece of sod before his mouth, so that his breath won't give him away. Let me tell you something, the devil has got bad breath. Say amen. Man, I got a nose for him. I can smell him. Whew. What a stinker. Boy, you see, the worldly goes into the net, oh, he goes in there greedily with eyes wide open. Knowing full well all the dangers, laying hold of sin with both hands, he commits sins that are even against the law of the land. And he rushes into terrible crimes. Not so with the Christian. He is taken by secretly. Secretly. And in the end time, Christians listening on the radio, you can be used as a tool. You can be the one that fans the net out, digs the hole, camouflages the whole thing, and greedily stands by like you're in the Colosseum, tee-heeing behind your little seat. How many hearing this? And the Christian says, you know, if I were very sure this was wrong, I wouldn't enter in. If I were perfectly persuaded that the net would not entangle me, I would not fly into such a place. Come fly with me, come fly with me today, huh? Ah, but the Lord shows you, and you fly away out of that trap. How many have flown away from a few traps even this week? Anybody? The fowler's there all the time. You had to fly away from some kind of trap. Put your hands up. It's more like it. Oh, he says, if I were perfectly persuaded that the net would not entangle me, I wouldn't get into that mess. I wouldn't even fly over such a place of destruction. Now people come and ask me, may I go to this place or may I go to that place? I said, man, that's up to you. Because what I tell you will create a desire in you to go. I say, don't go there. And you're going to go there. Right? Brother, I am telling you not to go there. Don't do it. It's a trap. Okay, and they'll walk around the trap and they'll just take one foot at a time, lose their balance, and fall into the net. So I'm not going to tell you anything, but you seek the Lord and the Lord will show you. Ooh. Oh, yeah. You answer no to people when they want to do something. They're going to do it. My mother the windmill used to say like this. Convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. And there's no changing a fool's mind because they're foolish. They are full of foolishness. Now you talk somebody into doing something they don't want to do and they ain't going to do it. They'll say, yes, I'll do it, and they'll turn around and they won't do it. Bible bears me out. Son, I want you to go out there and do that. No, I ain't going to do it. No, I ain't going to do it. And the other guy said, well, certainly, Father, I'd love to do it. The one that did all the cranking and hollering and yelling went out and did it, and the guy that was so sweet, honey-lipped, didn't do it. Say amen, somebody. Now you convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. And he'll find some other fools to agree with him. And you talk somebody into something, you say, well, yes, well, that sounds reasonable. Well, I'd love to do that. Well, certainly not. I talked to a person the other day. I says, you know what? When I'm calling people and I beg them for food, the guy says, well, now, I don't believe the poor should have anything. I worked my way through college, and I worked my way through life, and I'm a self-made millionaire, and I ain't going to give nothing to nobody. I say, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to call you back tomorrow. Maybe you'll change your mind. Don't you call me back. I don't call back the next day. We didn't say not to call back the second day. So I end it, and I say, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pray about this. And so he's awake the first night, and he's awake the second night, and the third day I call him, he'll give you anything that he's got. Then on the other hand, the sweet-lipped ones, now, brother, we would just love to help you out, and as soon as we can, mark it down. Mark it on a calendar. We are going to help you. They won't help you. They have no intentions of helping you. That's a trap. And you sit and wait for them honey-lipped people that said they're going to do something. They ain't going to do it. How many hearing this? Now, the world says that you cannot judge a book by its cover. Now, it's gospel. You can't. I'm sure glad for it. How about you? The rest of you ugly-looking people in here. Now I woke a few of you up. See, you're getting all ready to sleep. Now you got to get people feisty. Got to get them mad. Got to get their blood going so that they can hear. My God, they don't hear. Yeah. Yeah, you preach like that, you're called the Puritan. Now listen, you either serve God all the way, you don't serve him at all. Good and evil can't mix. You can't say one thing and do another. But I'd rather have a man that tells the truth than someone that hedges the truth. Someone that runs the rim. Someone that lives a lie. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. Why halt ye between two opinions? Now, I believe there's a whole lot of people that are tempted into sin, not knowing it sometimes, and sometimes do knowing it. Businessmen. Oh, you can do this or that. It's legal. But that hasn't got nothing to do with following Jesus Christ. And so deeper and deeper they go. They shut one eye and they enter into some kind of a scheme where they'll build a building and they won't put the proper materials in it. And they shut one eye and they enter into the thing. The devil makes the sin swallowable. And so they swallow it. The world says hook, line, and sinker. And then after they swallow the sinker, down they go. Now, it wasn't done in secret. Sometimes it is done in secret. And the devil puts the head over his horns. Then he knocks on your old door and braids his tail. You know, it isn't quite right, but it's so harmless, said you. No one will know, and if no one knows, it's okay. And he allows you to talk you into it. You talk yourself into things. You talk yourself into being mean and nasty and critical. You talk yourself into doing all manner of hellish things. And the devil allows you to. He suggests to you to do this, and then you talk yourself into it. So be careful of the secret things. You know what will happen? The light will always reveal a monster created in secret sooner or later. Don't deny the world their pleasure. That's all they have. Don't stand on a soapbox and start, spiritualizing to the world that isn't saved yet. And holding up all of their gods and busting all of their gods and machine gunning all of their booze bottles. Judge not the world, the Bible says, for they're already under judgment. Doesn't say lift up their sins. It says lift up Jesus. Die, and I, if I be high and lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself, says the Lord. But oh, we're so busy lifting up and complaining about what's wrong. My God, how about getting into what's right? I went over to a meeting the other day over in the other twin city here. Sitting in a meeting over there. I said, my God, you're asking for these beds. I have them. Not only did God furnish me the 50 beds, but God gave me the mattresses to go with them. And not only did he give me the mattresses to go with them, he gave me 200 pillows to go with them. Not only did he give me the brand new pillows and the brand new blankets and the brand new mattresses and the hospital beds for $400 a piece is what they cost. We didn't pay it. But you're asking and begging for beds. I have them. My question to you is this. Do you want this ministry to do this thing or not? And if not, tell us so that we can give you the beds and you can do something with them. But tell the truth. And stop sitting around laying snares for one another. Don't deny the world their pleasures. That's all they have. But I think we must be aware of the certain traps there are and flee. When I ran out of there, I've spent the whole of the summer, some 6 months even. Hey, all summer and a couple more months trying to persuade and convince so I could go into St. Paul. Finally, I talked to a lawyer and I says, you know what, I'm in St. Paul. He says, how'd you get over there? I says, I drove my bus over there and I started serving food over there. I just drove over. That's all I did. It was real easy. The snare was waiting to go. See, there's so much teaching on how to and nobody toing. So much teaching on how do we start and nobody starting. They got that 9-to-5 attitude in the church. 9-to-5. Working 9-to-5. Isn't there a song like that? Seems to me there is. Working 9-to-5. And boy, when that 5 o'clock comes, they get out of there faster than the world does. God. Now it won't be long and you won't be breathing no more. You won't have to worry about 9-to-5. Be laying under 2x6. Oh my. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now you'll never find the fowler setting the trap the same way for all the birds. He knows that birds of a feather flock together. Don't they? Don't birds of a feather flock together? There's certain birds I can't sit with. I cannot sit with people that just sit and spiritualize. And coffee eyes. And then the Lord said this, and the Lord said that. And then finally the Lord said this. 2 lumps, Lord? Yes. Thank you. And stir. No, I'm sorry. That's not where I'm at. And furthermore, I don't want to be there because Jesus isn't there. Mark it down. He's not there. Because most of what I've seen is self-lifting, self-edifying. It isn't others-oriented. And it stinks. You know why it stinks? Because the devil's there. He can put all the sod before his mouth he wants to. This old bird can smell him. This old turkey can smell them. Say amen, somebody. Well, does a duck ever nest with on the side of a mountain or an eagle? Does he ever settle in the water? Are you hearing this, Mose? No, they're different, aren't they? How many know a duck and an eagle are different? Now, you don't see a duck flying way up there, eyeballing some mouse down there in the field a mile or two away. You don't see him getting his feathers already. You don't see a great big beak hanging out of there. He's got that flat beak. He isn't going to fly down there at 150 per down after that mouse. Well, he'd look silly. And what would he do after he got him? Patty cake him to death with his... No, they're adapted differently, aren't they? Do you like that? Go ahead, loosen up a little bit. My God, there needs to be a joy in the house of God. Is everybody... God, they're so serious about... Don't take yourself too seriously. You might drop dead before you get out of here. It's truth, ain't it? Oh, I'm just going to take myself so seriously. Plop. Oh, yeah. No, the fowler adapts a snare trap to one he knows that certain bird would take. Now, he'll tempt one man with booze. And he'll just plant this seed in the man's mind. Don't drink ever again in your whole life. The guy says, that's right. I'm never, ever going to drink again in my whole life. Thank you. Now, you might know that's Satan. So he's got that in his mind. I'm never going to drink again in my whole life. Never, ever going to drink again in my whole life. Never. I will not drink again. I won't. I won't. And he opens the cupboard. I won't. And he takes the bottle down. I won't. And he cranks open the top. I won't. Glug, 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 glug. Slurp, 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 slurp. I'm only going to have one. It ends up being one bottle. Because Satan knows. But if you, by the grace of God, are delivered, you say, I'm doing this for someone else. That if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. Now you got something to go for, and the grace of God is in that. Because now you're not living the life you now live, you live in faith. And you live it for someone else. You give your life to gain your life. Your bottle is your life, you give it up, and you give it for someone else. And you gain the freedom, and you gain the grace of God to overcome that sin.